And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we start this journey through Lent together on this Ash Wednesday as we follow different messages that the Lord shares within his Sermon on the Mount. And of course, beginning with the Sermon on the Mount are the Beatitudes, which we heard read in the Gospel reading this evening. And I'd like us to consider a few of those blessings that God bestows upon you and me and upon his church. And we rejoice in the reality that from the voice of the Almighty God himself, he announces to us that we are blessed. And more specifically, blessed are you as an individual child of God. Blessings. You know, they really come cheap these days, don't they? You know, if you're on an airplane in a tight space where there's a lot of people packed in together, and you're battling allergies or something like that, and you begin to sneeze, are you going to receive some blessings? Yeah, somebody's going to say, bless you, bless you. And then you might get some dirty looks, too. But that's probably the most common way, ironically, that we hear that word blessing. And we don't even have to pay a dime to receive it. But beyond that, we really don't hear people talk very much about blessing or blessed are you. Well, good news, in the Bible, God is blessing people all over the place. In fact, do you know when the first time in Scripture is that God pronounces his blessing? It's actually in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, and it's verse 22, and it's after God created the fish and the birds. And after creating these creatures, we hear that God blessed them. And it's the first time we hear that term in Scripture. And it was with the promise to them that they would multiply. And of course, later God blessed Abraham. Remember, God called Abraham away from the people that he knew so well, the land that he was so familiar with. And God blessed Abraham and sent him traveling, sent him packing to a new land. And as you follow Abraham's journey as a child of God, as a servant of the Lord, God announces, pronounces his blessing on Abraham several times during his time of ministry. And then we can go all the way to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And in Revelation, we hear this word bless no less than seven times from God scattered throughout this incredible book of Revelation. Well, what's that word actually mean? Blessed. We hear it quite often. But the Greek word is makarios, and makarios, the first part of that word, mak, is where our word macro comes from. And of course, macro meaning to make large or to make long, which is really pretty incredible when you think about that, because we think about all the blessings we heard this evening in the Beatitudes that Jesus speaks, and think of those in terms of the Lord making large and long his favor that he extends to us. And so it's all about God extending his favor to his people. And not just a little bit, but it's large and it's long. Makarios. Well, Jesus' Beatitudes in that light, they're not wishes. It isn't like Jesus saying, oh, may you be poor in spirit, or may you hunger and thirst after righteousness. No, it's not that at all. But in the Lord blessing us, blessing the disciples of old, in stating that blessing, pronouncing it, what he's really doing is giving a description of his disciples, of who we are, of the character that he bestows upon us to be witnesses in his kingdom. And so more than that, the Beatitudes are really an exclamation. They're a celebration, if you will, of who we are as called people to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says to us, how blessed are the meek, how blessed are the peacemakers. And look at the confidence in those words with Jesus, especially when he spoke these words early in his ministry. And as we follow the apostles, as we follow the disciples, even as we follow our own faith journey, God's got an incredible amount of patience, doesn't he? And yet, God knows the power of his word. God knows the power of his blessings bestowed upon us. And the Lord is very confident that the kingdom will take hold in the lives of God's people. And that includes all of us in this room. And so tonight, on this Ash Wednesday, I'd like us just to look at three of the Beatitudes, three of the blessings that the Lord bestows upon us. And the first is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so as we gather here this evening to worship, we come recognizing that we are poor in spirit. And being poor in spirit means that we really have nothing to offer to God in and of ourselves apart from the blessings that he bestows upon us. What we do have to offer is our sin. And certainly we have to offer the needs that we have, and certainly the greatest need would be the forgiveness of our sins. And so we come without one plea. Martin Luther, I never knew this story until recently, found this little article, but Martin Luther, as he was dying, somebody found a note in his pocket. And on the note, it was scribbled in Luther's handwriting, and there was a message, and here's what the message says, and I quote, "This is true, we are all beggars." Interesting. We really have nothing to bring in and of ourselves. But to us cross-marked sinners, as we are with the ashes tonight, and even if we can't see the ashes, we rejoice that the kingdom has come to us and that Jesus has given to us his grace and his forgiveness. And we recognize that we need to be blessed. He is the source. And it's only Jesus that can give this blessing, right? Because it's only Jesus who ushered in the kingdom of heaven by emptying himself. In fact, Jesus chose to become poor in spirit in the sense of taking accountability for all of the world's sins. He earned this blessing by becoming poor in spirit in our place. His humility took him all the way to the cross. He suffered as our substitute. And he went to another mountain where perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached was preached in action, and that's Mount Calvary, where Jesus spread his arms for us and died upon the cross. Poor in spirit. Well, another blessing, which is especially ours today as we rejoice in it, is the second beatitude. When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn. And we are blessed today as God's children to have a godly grief. Did you ever hear that term, godly grief? I actually didn't know that was in Scripture. But maybe between now and, I mean, whenever you can open your Bible for a few minutes, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And just read through the chapter. But verse 10 is where we hear the term godly grief, or in some translations, it's godly sorrow, an interesting term. But what does it really mean? Well, I think we can relate to it in terms of our relationship with our parents. Did you ever remember saying something to your parents that was really bad? And bad in the sense that it really hurt them and it really disappointed them when you said it? And you know how words are. You can't take the words back. They're already out there. Lindy and I forget who it was that we were visiting with, but we had this discussion the other day. And this fairly old person was saying, I can still remember a very harsh word that I said to my mom or dad. And that was when they were a little child, and they were our age or older now, and yet they still have that memory. And what hurts them most in that memory is the pain and the disappointment that they brought to their parent in speaking those words. But that's this godly grief described in Scripture, that when we sin, when we go against God's will, it's not just an objective event or a neutral event, but it's very relational in our relationship with God. And certainly when we sin, we deeply disappoint God. We hurt God in our sin against Him. We hurt our Heavenly Father. This is godly grief. And it's a reality by God's grace that we have that kind of regretful feeling. In fact, what does it do? But it leads us to repentance, doesn't it? That we recognize the sin we've committed. We recognize the pain and the hurt that we've brought to our Heavenly Father. And we have the desire to never do that again. We want to turn away from it. And we want to turn to the cross and see that Jesus was willing to take all of that on Himself and to die for us. And through His death and resurrection, we are blessed to be forgiven. And here again, only Jesus can give that comfort that we all need. We have the comfort of our Heavenly Father's forgiveness because Jesus won that forgiveness through the gift of His own life. This Son did not disappoint His Father. Not even once did Jesus do something hurtful to His Father. But He took all of our hurtfulness and all the pain that we've brought to God upon Himself, and He claimed it as His own. And that's why only Jesus can do that. He's the only one that made that journey to the cross to forgive us. Well, the third blessing that I'd like us to think about on this Ash Wednesday is the Beatitude, as Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what does He say? For they shall be satisfied. And you know, it's worth noting that this blessing clearly flows from the previous ones, in the sense that it's not enough to just be humble and repent or be meek, for that matter, which is the third beatitude. But this fourth beatitude reminds us that we have a life to live and people with whom to live it. And there's the relational piece again. And so our hunger and our thirst for righteousness reveals in us the deep desire to be right with God, but also right with one another. And think about that in the context of the times we're living right now and all the division and the hatred that is being shown towards one another. Well, there was an interesting book. I haven't read it, but I heard about this recently. And then a film was made in 2017 after this book. And the title of the book is Some Kind of Different as Me. Interesting title. Some Kind of Different as Me. And it was written by Denver Moore, the book. And Denver Moore was a homeless guy. And so he was out there on the streets, homeless. And Denver writes in his book, there's something I learned when I was homeless. And here's what he learned. Our limitation is God's opportunity. I love that. Our limitation is God's opportunity. And what he meant by that is when we get all the way to the end of our rope and there's really nothing else that we can do by our own power and strength, that's when God takes over. At least that's when we recognize and appreciate that God takes over, when we have nothing else to grab onto. Well, with righteousness or pursuing that, attempting to pursue it on our own, we're always going to be at the end of our rope, because you and I cannot achieve righteousness with God. But praise God that he brings that righteousness to us. He gives it as a gift through his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was willing to take our place and to achieve that righteousness. He, the perfect righteous one, that we too may have it in our possession. And so from his righteousness flows our right decisions and our right relationships and our right actions with God and with one another. And in that, we are satisfied, and in that, we are blessed in Christ. And it makes us look quite uniquely different in the world in which you and I live. And so as we begin this Lenten journey, as we make our way through life, we Christians really do look different. And not only because we can see a cross made from ashes on our forehead this evening, but even without that visible cross on our forehead, we look different because of the unique people that Christ has called us to be. To live our lives with Christ-like humility, to have that godly grief, to live in righteousness, which is a gift given through faith. And all of this marks us as unique people. And so in these blessings of Christ, we can look at each other and we can say, you are the same kind of different as me. And you know what? I want you to look at each other tonight. Look, talk to somebody sitting beside you and say, you are the same kind of different as me. Ken, you're the same kind of different as me. Well, praise God that he has intervened in our lives, that he has pronounced his blessings upon us, and through those blessings, he has dramatically changed our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are blessed to be the same kind of different, in his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And at this time, I would invite the congregation to stand, if you are able, as we turn to God in prayer.